Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q2 FY12 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the call to discuss financial results for quarter ending September 2011. I have with me Mr. Rajiv Pawar, P. Rajendran, Mr. G. Raghavan, Kapil Saurabh, Chetna, Sanjay Bahl, whom perhaps you may not have met, Rohit Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Vijay Kumar. So I just want to start the discussion. As you know, in the last quarter, there have been a number of exciting things in NIIT, and of course, in the last 15, 20. So we are discussing about the second quarter of the year. As usual, I would like to describe the environment. I think the quarter had a very volatile economic currency as well as the social environment. And in that, tight monetary policy and sticky inflation definitely dampened the growth momentum. The global volatility is also making employers' outlook a little weak, even though the domestic IT firms are holding on to their hiring outlook, and our placements show that they continue to remain excited about the prospects of IT. The banking industry continued to be on a hiring spree, and our banking enrollments show the interest, and the placements show the interest which the private sector banks as well as public sector banks have in new talent. Education and skills remain one of the top agendas of the government. Global economic uncertainty and sociopolitical instability has definitely contributed to an erosion in business confidence. The corporate training spends are recovering, albeit very slowly, and discretionary spends are still under a lot of pressure. The volatility in foreign exchange, especially in the last 3 weeks of September, definitely affected business results. In our case, they did affect, and I will share with you the impact of those on our financials. More on balance sheet items, no impact on revenue, which should have been actually positive given the changes in the foreign exchange. Now, we, in the last quarter's call, had talked about our excitement about the growth platforms, and we had also talked about how we are putting a lot of effort in stabilizing and launching these growth platforms to build momentum. So I thought I will start with that first. The four growth platforms which have got identified have gained tremendous momentum, and the headlines of that are the cloud campus, which we remain extremely excited about and have had good encouraging response, was rolled out to 190 centers, and in the 4.5 months since its launch, has garnered 11,000 enrollments, which is extremely encouraging. Of course, we would have liked to see more, and we do see the momentum building up as we go along. In managed training services, where we had talked about the 6 global customers with $110 million of revenue potential in the next few years, we did see the MTS part of the revenue grow by 62% in this quarter, where the new orders that we had got have started getting implemented. The NGuru Solutions, which is the integrated solution for all the schools put together, now contributed to the non-government revenue, reaching 46% of our school learning solutions. And overall, in the school learning solutions, the number of students serviced has crossed the 10 million mark, which we believe is a modest achievement of the organization and a contribution to the society through its 30 years. The skill building solutions, which is a new business which the company launched, and is something which we've been working under the radar for a long time, gaining experience, resulted in a joint venture with NSPC, National Skills Development Corporation, and it is to train 7 million students over a 10-year period. It would be perhaps one of the largest public-private partnerships in vocational skills, and it is to set up 1,500 centers across 1,000 cities as we go along. A small thing for which we need to thank you enormously is the recognition which the NIIT brand got. Economic Times AC Nielsen does a brand equity survey, and in that, NIIT was rated as the second most trusted brand in education, which is ahead of some other prominent institutions that we have all grown up with. So the four platforms of growth showed a large amount of improvement. And I think now in financials, we would be able to talk about those. To start with, the financials of these initiatives will reflect themselves in the next few quarters. Very much like we had talked in quarter one, this quarter was to get many of these initiatives stabilized. Overall net revenue growth of 11%, EBITDA grew by 5%, and in fact had a minus 78 basis points, like Mr. Raghavan had pointed out, cloud campus and a number of other initiatives, which I will explain in a minute, contributed to this. PAT grew by 6%, and therefore the EPS also by 6%. First, the impact of foreign exchange, that was 194 basis points or 67 million rupees on the total. The EBITDA impact of the EBITDA was affected by 230 basis points with the following things. There was a foreign exchange impact of 15 million. There was a premises overlap. We moved from some of our offshore work, given the expiry of the software technology park scheme and so on and so forth, from there to an SEZ and other location, which created an overlap of 11 million. The cloud campus readiness, which was, as we had agreed, we would be spending a large sum of money in this quarter. We actually ended up spending less than that. And the 250 million, and then skill building solutions, pre-operative expenses of 13 million contributed to this 230 basis points. Overall, the consolidated system-wide revenue was up by 9% year-on-year, which is lower than the net revenue, and which normally reflects that our own centers did relatively better than our channel centers. And that stands to reason, because cloud campus rollout was 100% implemented in own centers, but not to the extent in our channel partner centers. Net revenues grew by 11% on after the currency impact, otherwise 194 basis points improvement would have been possible. And the EBITDA, profit after tax, I've talked about. There were three drivers. One was enrollment, and in that, I think cloud campus enrollment, more by value and less by quantity. Banking enrollments, which was more by quantity. Execution of large MTS deals and the non-government schools growth. These were the three drivers for growth in revenues that contributed this year. Moving down one step further, individual business grew by 12%. However, in this 12%, as you know, we have been talking about a one NIIT integration. About 4% is the impact of one NIIT integration. 9% is the impact of India, and minus 1% of international. So international part of the individual learning solutions business still remain a little challenged because the restructuring which we are doing there is not yet complete. The important thing which I thought I will mention here after the EBITDA, which was at 375 million, 21%, was the fact that all new businesses turned positive during this quarter. We have had a discussion in the past that many of our new businesses are taking a lot of time in stabilizing, but one good milestone we reached was IFBI, the Institute for Banking, Finance, Banking, Insurance. That was EBITDA, not only EBITDA, but PAT positive. Imperia, which is our management training business, that was EBITDA positive. The Unica, which is our BPO training business, was EBITDA positive. And, so I think those were the new businesses that were positive in this quarter itself. Schools, the net revenue was at 405 million, was up 12% year on year. EBITDA at 47 million, same margin at 12%, which was a small improvement, or an improvement of 309 basis points over last year. Corporate, which had a net revenue of improvement of 10% year on year, to this we should add 4% in terms of a gap between rupee and volume growth. So volume growth was 14%. To which you should add another 4% of the realignment towards one NIT, which individual got the benefit. That part of the activity earlier used to be treated in corporate. So if we take that, then actually on a like-to-like basis may have been about 18% growth. However, 10% is what it is, and that's what I'm talking about. EBITDA showed an improvement of 103 basis points in margin over last year, despite an adverse effect of the foreign exchange. Skill building, I already mentioned, had a negative EBITDA impact of minus 13 million. Highlights of each of the businesses, individual learning solutions. I think Cloud Campus emerging as a game-changing initiative with excellent response from the students in terms of their student experience, excellent response from the faculty in terms of what they see as an impact it is having on the students, and excellent reception by parents and other parts of the society in terms of what it is doing. In fact, I may also mention that certain foreign universities have contacted us also to see whether a similar initiative of this kind can be implemented there. So I think it is one of those important transformational initiatives which we see an enormous possibility from. Overall, our enrollments grew only 5% at a global level, but diploma enrollments in India were 7%, short-term modular enrollments were 11%, our career enrollments had grown only 4%, but if I see the cloud campus at its price point, then in terms of new order intake, if that was a term applicable in this case, we would see a 15 to 20% increase in that order intake. Overall, cloud campus enrollments crossed 11,000 marks, which from 4.5 months of announcement, I think is fairly good. What makes us very happy is the placements growth, which is at 15% year on year during the quarter. In school learning solutions, we continued our thrust on private schools and other non-government schools. Non-government schools revenue increased by 24% and forms 46% of the school learning solutions business. We added 133 new schools during this quarter. In corporate learning solutions, we got a new order intake of $27.9 million. Volume growth of 14% if not adjusted for the one NIT adjustment, but if with that it would be 18%. But margin improved by 103 basis points and MTS registered a 62% growth in volumes. Skill building solutions, the joint venture with NSTC has been signed up. The joint venture is a 90-10, 90 with NIT, 10% with NSTC. It has a loan possibility of from NSTC at concessional terms with a fairly large holiday period, interest holiday period, as well as an assistance from them in developing the marketplace for these new markets. As we speak, this project is under implementation. If there are further questions on this, my colleague Sanjay Mehal, who is with us, who is the president of this entity, he and I will be very happy to answer them. In consolidated financials, I think the important issue to remember is that operating expenses increased by 12%, which is contributed by a number of factors, but important thing is premises overlap of 11 million, cloud campus readiness of 50 million, and skill building solutions pre-operative expenses of 13 million are important contributors to this. The depreciation was higher at 250 million rupees, and this is having moved to the new facility which got capitalized during this. That facility is called Confluence for our corporate learning solutions business, as well as the movement of SCP. That was one contributor, as well as Element K, some of the assets that they had capitalized were put to use in this quarter. Net other income in last quarter had the impact of interest rate. Interest was at marginally higher level than the previous year, A, because of increase in interest rate, as well as the debt utilization, which is typically higher in the second quarter. Overall, tax was at 21 million rupees based on the range of profits that we got from different entities. And overall, PAT was at 302 million, which is 6% improvement over last year. Two or three things which I thought I would like to highlight. Corporate learning solutions, in line with the MTS strategy, has shown a continuous improvement in margin, 40 basis points improvement in margin on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and nearly 110 basis points improvement on an year-on-year basis. Second thing which I thought I should highlight is the cloud campus, which is not only the fact that we had a net revenue growth of 12% in individual learning solutions, but the fact that 4% came out of realignment due to one NIIT, 9% growth came out of India, and minus 1% was international. We added 24 more centers during the quarter, adding the capacity of 6%. Talking a little bit about headcount, we added 133 people in this period. At the balance sheet level, at the balance sheet level, our return on capital employed during this quarter was 14%. Our net debt was at a higher level, as I mentioned, being a large quarter. It stood at 351.9 million, 352 million. I must point out that the net debt was one of the adverse effects which we had because of the foreign exchange. The reason is we recognize the currency rate as on the first of the month, and all the currency movement took place in the month of September, where we had already recognized the rate on 1st September. Therefore, all the adjustments took place in the balance sheet, and 149 million was the foreign exchange impact on debt, which is not actually an increase, but just a translation of foreign exchange. Of course, all that doesn't matter too much now, which I will come to. In cash flow terms, just to clarify, our net debt was 3519 million rupees. I may have said 351 million. It was 3519 million. Net cash flow from operations was 335 million rupees. Our accounts receivable were at a higher level, though comparable, at the same comparable level compared to last year. It stood at 4180 million, and the increase in AR was one, seasonality and the fact that this is a high quarter. Second, foreign exchange, which contributed 153 million rupees adverse impact. And last was delays in collections, primarily in Andhra Pradesh, which during last quarter has had more or less all offices closed. So that being Andhra Pradesh being a large debtor did affect our liquidity to that extent. We added fixed assets of 919 million, of which on Confluence, the new facility, it was 248 million. And on new products and projects, including those launched by Element K, it was about 500 million. Overall, that is the summary that I would like to talk about. Now, one thing before I open it up for questions, which has happened in the last, it is since the closing of the quarter, that on 14th of October, we announced that we have divested our stake in Element K to Skillsoft Corporation for a cash consideration of $110 million enterprise value, subject to small closing adjustments. This transaction was completed on 14th itself, and the money was transferred into our accounts. Over the last few days, we have had a number of financial transactions to ensure that that part of the money can go and retire the debt so that we can bring the debt cost down immediately, while we are also planning to look at the uses of these funds. We believe that the overall cost of the transaction in terms of A, the options, settlement of options, as well as cost of transaction, as well as taxation, will add up to about $40 million in totality, about $5.5 million in option settlement, about $4.5 million in all other costs and settlement expenses, and we estimate that the taxation, based on our current understanding, will be of the order of $30 million, which includes the part which has to be paid in India for transfer of money from there. However, all these are work in progress, but I thought this is a number which you would like to know as fast as possible. So that's where we stand at this point of time. I would now like to open this up for Q&A, and we will all join in to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Mr. Amitabh Santalia from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on the excellent deal with selling Element K. I had a question on a couple of quick questions related to your financials. One is, why is our tax rate so low, and what is it likely to be going forward?
Okay. The tax rate gets worked out as work in progress, and we kind of net it off as CYD at the end of every quarter. But overall, our tax rate is 28 to 29% of our profit. So, over of PBT, and therefore, given that we are at two quarters of the year where MTS growth and other non-India growth would have contributed to the, or profitability would have contributed to lower taxation so far. But as the India and this mix steps in, I think our taxation will be 28 to 29%.
So it'll be about 28% of your overall PBT for the full year, you mean to say?
Very right.
So there'll be a higher impact of taxes in the second half?
That's right.
Okay.
The other thing is, this does not include the taxation because of the transaction. I'm assuming that to be an extraordinary situation.
Right. Yeah, because that's not reflected in your Q2 numbers anyway.
Very correct.
Okay. And this practice of accounting for the share of profit from associates above the line,
below the line.
Well, below the line, in some sense, and above the line, as in part of your consolidated pattern, I'm assuming it's part of your reported EPS as well.
Absolutely. That's the standard practice. That's the law of the land.
Right. So, what about the dividend that you receive from the from NIT Tech? Where is that accounted for?
Yeah, the dividend that we get from NIT Tech gets adjusted against the dividend that we pay off. And it doesn't come into this book. Yeah.
Okay. So there's no double counting of profits there.
No.
And
so whatever D&D you see in our books is just, I think, our 24.1% in NTL stake.
Okay.
Actually, the way it works is the dividend actually does not come to NIT, because there was a special purpose vehicle created at that time called Scantec. So dividend goes to Scantec. Scantec pays a dividend to NIT, which in any case does not come in anywhere in our P&L.
Okay. And this practice is, I'm sure it's, standard practice and as per accounting standards and everything, but I'm just wondering if in terms of your reported PAT and EPS, whether it's overstating the earnings in some sense, because this is more like a group company investment, right? Typically, there's no control that NIT has over NIT Tech. It's just a passive investment due to the merger which happened some years back, right?
Yeah, so the right way to do that is that you'd declare your organic PAT as well as the share of profits, as long you give the breakup of both, which is that's the law of the land, and that's what accounting norms are and whatever else. So the best is to be transparent about whatever are the breakups.
But I guess the larger question I was trying to get at is, how does this value get captured? Of course, this you will continue to. Is there a more efficient way to sort of hold this investment, which will create better shareholder value in the long run? Or you believe going to be sort of maintained for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, and so I think it is the declared intention of NIIT that at an appropriate time, and the appropriate time determined by the circumstances and the performance and the state of industry, as well as availability of a suitable partner, that we would like to divest this. However, at this time, as we speak, there is no such proposal on the table. But if there is, we would be happy to share that whenever a development takes place, which is at an appropriate stage.
Okay, so this is, this is not a permanent holding in some sense, like a lot of holding companies have of a group company stake.
No, so just to explain you that these two were together and they demerged.
Right.
In the demerger scheme of things, NIT ended up holding 25% of NTL, and we had, even at that time and since then, have maintained continuously that it is not our intention to. It is our intention to look for a strategic buyer and divest that. However, at this time, the company is fairly undervalued, NIT Technologies, for it is worth, but it is improving steadily. The second is it's doing extremely well, and the third, we feel that the timing is not yet right. And of course, there is no proposal on the table worth considering.
Sure, that's exactly the, thanks for answering that. And lastly, is there any plans to declare a special dividend against this the transaction, the money that you received?
At this point of time, of course, that's for the board to consider. However, the way the transaction has been looked at this point of time, it has been felt that the retiring partly of debt and partly an investment in the four platforms of growth definitely is the more important item on the agenda. And based on the situation as it unfolds, these proposals can be taken up.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Santhalia. Participants who have a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mr. Amar Maurya from India Nivash Securities. Please go ahead. Line of the participant has got disconnected. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just had a couple of questions. First of all, if you can just explain this bit from realignment of one NIIT revenues from CLS to the ILS.
Yeah, I will ask Raghavan to explain.
Okay, basically, we have been talking about the one NIIT program as one of the two important strategic threats, the other important one being the cloud campus. You might remember me talking about it in the past. Basically, as we go forward, the trainings that we're taking up for individuals, whether it is acquired through the channel of banking centers or whether it is acquired through the channel of the IT training centers or the BPO training centers or management training centers, in as much as they are all dealing with the individuals being trained, as we increase the various offerings under each of the centers, we are wanting to look at it as one NIIT. So in this particular case, the realignment refers to some part of the individual's training which was being reflected in an India enterprise solutions business, even though it was dealing with individual training, is being realigned to truly reflect the one NIIT thrust that we are having under this program. Okay. And since it is being done, we wanted to make sure that we kind of express as to what is the contribution of this realignment to the 12% individual growth that we have talked about.
Okay.
In fact, it is about 3.4% point contribution to the 12%.
So, consequently, if I look at the organic, sort of speaking, ILT, ILS business, it's grown at about 9% in domestic. So, if you can just throw some more light on the growth rates been tapering off over the past few quarters, and what should we pencil in for the next few quarters as far as ILS business is concerned?
I would like to say that the growth rate that we did have in the first quarter was a growth over the previous quarters at 16%. So this quarter, even during the last quarter, we did mention that we are likely to face lesser growth in Q2, primarily driven by some of the international channel restructuring that we've been engaged in. And I did specifically mention about a few African countries where I said the results of the restructuring of the channel and the results of the scholarship program that we were running is going to be delayed, and this will lead to a softer Q2. So in terms of the revenue growth, this is not completely out of line with what we had anticipated. Yes, we would have certainly liked to see a little better than what we are seeing, but it is not completely out of what we have anticipated. But I would like to draw the attention to the most important program that they've been engaged in the quarter two, namely Cloud Campus, where we really went on with this really game-changing new delivery platform that we have launched in all the metros and many other non-metro locations. Nearly 190 centers have been enabled to do this, in about 5 weeks, in about 4.5 months, we've been able to notch up an enrollment of about 11,000 students in this. And there has been growth in the India business overall. There has been growth in the diploma program, short-term diploma program, 99-day diploma programs, and there has been growth in the short-term modular programs. So there have been many good things, but we had mentioned about the Q2 number being slower, so this is sort of in line with that.
So when do we expect the growth rates once again to pick up, or should we actually pencil in about 9 to 10% growth in the next few quarters?
In the second half, I do expect the rates to be better than what I mentioned in Q2.
Mm-hmm.
You should pencil in a bigger number, because the benefit of one NIIT that we have expressed to you,
mm-hmm,
about 4 percentage points,
mm-hmm,
will continue to be there in our growth rate. So you should really expect that plus the normal individual growth rates that we've been talking about. So in the future, we will be talking about individual growth rates that will subsume the benefit of about 4 percentage points coming out of one NIIT for the remaining three more quarters. So looking at the balance of the year, we should look at growth rates in the region of about 20% that includes this percentage point.
Okay. And as far as the CLS business is concerned, like if we can get to know like what will be the continuing revenues, EBITDA and profits after the Element K business is gone out.
Yeah. So after the Element K business and this realignment, mm-hmm, just to add one word to this realignment, which I think depend. You are right in assuming that in a certain manner you should subtract the 4% from that, and which is what Raghu did as well.
Mm-hmm.
But actually the reason of one NIIT is that soon the line will be blurred as to where the business is coming from.
Sure.
And that was the whole idea of one NIIT, so that we don't have lots of small channels contributing to it.
Okay.
And therefore, we looked at all the individual business and wherever it is coming from. So, for example, a large number of advanced programs used to be, for example, corporate sponsored, and it would go in the corporate program. So you do an advanced Cisco program, it would go in corporate program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we are launching more advanced programs in our centers, these are, mm-hmm, programs which are being conducted in our centers, mm-hmm, using our capacity, and should therefore contribute to our as in the individual revenue profitability,
mm,
was getting clocked there. So we are realigned. Earlier that number was small, now that number is becoming larger. So that's one of the things which I thought I should mention that.
Sure.
Now that and Element K. So just let me explain the Element K transaction. Element K contributed last year about $86 million in revenue.
Mm.
And this year we would have had Element K for 6 months and 13 days.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months have been clocked in last quarter, mm-hmm, and 13 days will be added in this quarter.
Sure.
And therefore, in the balance part of the year, we'll have 13 days of Element K and 2 quarters of the corporate normal revenue.
Yes.
And it is just safe to assume that 2/3 of the revenue which we were getting was from Element K and about 1/3 from here. This 1/3, however, is growing at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
I just gave you the example of MTS. MTS would form about 60% of the total corporate revenue, which is left over.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take 33%, nearly 1/3 of the total revenue to be what will now be corporate,
mm-hmm,
going forward,
mm-hmm,
a small change will be the 13 days added in this quarter,
sure.
Which you can take for all practical purposes, maybe very small, because first 13 days is nothing in a quarter. It's normally, mm-hmm, it picks up much later.
Correct.
So you will have 2 quarters of this revenue, which is 1/3, and in that 60% or so is growing at has grown at about 60-odd%.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it will be at a slow rate. So what we foresee is that towards the end of the year, we have the corporate numbers for that. I'll just give you the
Yeah.
So overall, we definitely see the corporate part adding up another about 130 crores or so in the next two quarters.
Okay. Okay. And how about the profitability?
That is, it's improving in profitability as we go along, but I would say it will be about 10 odd percent, 10 plus.
This is for the continuing, the business which continues?
Yes.
Okay. And have we transferred even assets, some of our assets with this deal?
Yes. So just to explain you the impact on balance sheet, the balance sheet size would reduce by about 18% from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the capital employed will reduce by about 18%, which is about 290 crores, 2.9 billion rupees.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
No, I may add the last statistic as well.
Mm-hmm.
The saving on the balance sheet, did I say 2.9? I think I made a mistake. 2.9 would have made 29% reduction in balance sheet. It is not 18%. So it's 1.9 billion rupees reduction in balance sheet. Our balance sheet is about 1,000 crores.
1,000 crores, okay.
Yeah. So it is 18% reduction.
Yeah.
The second thing which I should say is that there will be an impact of PAT just of this deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that impact will be the interest saving that we will get in the next 6 months will more than offset the profit, loss of profit from Element K.
Okay.
At a PAT level, there will be a small positive.
So how much of the debt are you intending to repay, or the total remaining debt will go off?
No. I think we would have some debt left on the balance sheet, though we will have zero net debt as we speak, but we have long-term debt of about 110 crores, which is not due till another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And but we will have cash. And second, we need some debt for operation of the rest of the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that is as far as the net debt situation will be.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. The next question is from the line of Mr. Amar Moria from India Nivash Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Sir, I just want to know more about this cloud computing.
Yes.
Now, in 4 months, it has clocked around about 11,000 kind of enrollment.
Yes.
So, just wanted to have more flair on this and how it is going to be rolled out. And secondly, about the centers, how many are our own centers and how many are channel centers?
Okay. On the cloud campus?
Yes, sir, first.
Okay. So, Raghu, you may like to answer.
Okay. Cloud campus is a platform on which we will deliver education to students for their own employability level preparations.
Okay.
Third product that we have rolled out of the platform is the 3-year GNIT program.
Okay.
And it is that program, along with its 1-year version, that the 11,000 enrollments have been referred to in the last 4.5 months.
Okay.
What does the student enjoy? The student enjoys the ability to learn 24/7 from any place, home, park, classroom, with friends. All kinds of possibilities exist for the students to learn. They get a device, which is a netbook, along with a data card that enables them to be connected 24/7. And the courseware is on digital format in their netbook. And they can access to niitstudent.com resources where the courseware and additional learning materials are actually served from. They can collaborate with other students. They can collaborate with faculty. and they can go and search for resources that reinforce their learning. So the whole learning experience is highly enriched and their effectiveness of learning is highly enriched.
Okay.
Having said this, the first product that we have rolled out is GNIT. It is our intention to roll out almost all the products that we have on this campus. So progressively, most of the products that we are offering will go on to cloud, because cloud is the way the world is going, and we have taken the first step. In fact, we are the first one to launch this platform for this kind of a training operation in the country.
Okay.
So in terms of number of centers, we have currently covered 190 centers, of which about 40 are our own centers. The remaining 150 belong to the channel partner centers.
Okay.
If you look at the next 6 months, the 190 will cross 250. But what is important is just not only the number of centers, but also enabling those centers to be able to actually counsel and make sure that the students understand it and make sure that the benefits of the cloud campus are fully and completely felt by the students who enroll in those centers. So that is the kind of work that is set out for us over the next few quarters.
Okay. So, sir, one more thing. Like, is this digitalization and the content which we are going to prepare it for this cloud, primarily, can it be used for this university digitalization courses which we offer?
Yes. And it is being used as we speak.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And therefore, there is an enormous potential to then universalize the usage of our courseware, which was today restricted to, for example, our faculty and courseware, which was restricted to its usage in the our education center. Now we can allow higher education centers, higher education sector, and we have the NIT Insight program, as you know, in partnership with universities, and that is what will do that. We call this the institutional alliances activity.
Okay.
I can add a little bit more to that. We have many colleges which have signed up with us, and we are offering programs to students in those colleges. And apart from simply, digital courseware, the other aspect about the cloud campus is also synchronous learning. Cloud campus is a large term. It encompasses several subsets underneath that. In colleges, we offer courses through synchronous learning, which is basically satellite-based education delivery with classrooms in those locations with capability to receive live lectures. It's not canned lectures, live lectures, instructor-led down into those classrooms. So that gives us the scale and gives us our capability to bring in the best faculty for each one of the topics and enable education to happen to those students. If this is what you meant by university, we call it under the name called Institutional Alliances Business. Yes, this will become a part of that as well.
Oh, okay. So one more thing, like this 11,000 enrollments which we had seen in this quarter, what is the revenue which is reflected in this individual learning solution? If you can give me some flavor about that.
It will be a small portion. Okay.
The way to look at it is a mix of, let's say it's primarily GNIT program.
Okay.
It's a mix of students who joined us for full 3-year program and students who joined us for 1-year program with subsequent upgrading to the 3-year program.
Okay.
The mix in this 11,000 of students who have joined for all the 3 years is much, much larger than those students who joined for a 1-year program.
Okay.
So, you know, the 1-year, 3-year program is 1,75,000 rupees plus service tax. The 1-year program is in the region of about 70,000. So you can kind of do a weighted average arithmetic. However, the important point is in the overall scheme of things in the revenue in this quarter, it is not very large, it's small.
Okay.
But the power of this and the significance of it for long term is why we are extremely happy about, because this is a platform for growth. It's just not a 1-quarter sales strategy.
Okay, and we are talking to roll out in 250 centers in 6 months, right?
That's right.
Okay. So secondly, about this corporate learning solution. Now, after the Element K business, what was the quarter-over-quarter growth of MTS business?
Quarter over quarter growth?
Yes, sir.
I will have to give that to you. We normally don't track quarter on quarter, but I will just give it to you in a minute.
Because, sir, I just wanted to know, because I can assume that individual learning solution business will be a cyclical business. But assuming that MTS business, this is primarily related to corporate training, so is it also cyclical in nature?
No. It is, well, there is a weak quarter the quarter three is a weak quarter for that because of Christmas holidays and stuff like that.
Like IT companies.
Yeah, but by and large, I think it is more like any other outsourcing business.
Okay, so sir, if you can share me that quarterly.
Yeah, I will. If you can ask your next question or somebody else can ask and I will just respond to that. I'll get it in a minute.
Okay, sir. And third, about this school learning solution business.
Yes.
When I talked with you in a conference call or before initiating the report, we had talked about expansion of the team primarily into this for this digital business, right?
Yes.
But still I see the school additions which are coming like 100, 133 range. So are we on the track of that expansion of that business or how it is like?
First of all, on the expansion of the team, we are a little behind, but end of the quarter we had 185 people. Raju, you want to answer that? 185 people on the roles of the sales people.
Okay.
Which is where we should have reached, but okay. there was a delay. Having said that, the number of schools added in this first 6 months is approximately the same as which we added, I can give you the exact number.
306 and 231 in the, I think the same number, yes, approximately the same. Yes.
Yeah. So, I think the settling of the sales team is the process which is going on as we speak.
Okay. So, sir, how much time, if you can give some flavor, what is the kind of school additions you are looking in a year or so?
No, so our team is confident. We had talked about adding about 450 schools, if I remember right, during the year.
Okay.
And I think we are on track to add that.
It may even be more than that.
It will actually be more than that.
Okay, and about the government schools, we are not likely to add anything, right, into that business?
As we said, we are being extremely selective about the government business other than the states in which we are already operating. So
okay.
There may be a renewal or a small addition. Those are the ones. We are not bidding for any large contracts ourselves.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay, meanwhile, I have your number.
Yes.
It is 18% QOQ.
Okay, 18% QOQ growth, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moria. The next question is from the line of Jasmina Parekh from ING Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I wanted to understand this taxation of $30 million. You indicated earlier that you have acquired Element K for $35 million and we have received $110 million.
Yes.
And I believe of this $110 million also, $25 million pertains to the debt, right? So equity valuation is around $85 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if you reduce $35 million, then the profit will be around $50 million. So on
but
that...
$35 million also included debt.
So what is the exact amount of profit?
Yeah, so you can take, for all practical purposes, because debt on exit and entrance was approximately the same.
Same, okay.
So you can take about $75 million of profit. And by the way, the $30 million I have given you is my back of the envelope number. Of course, little more than back of the envelope. But it is to account for the taxation in U.S.,
but still, it looks like, yeah, it looks to be pretty high considering that it will be a long-term capital gain tax.
In U.S. taxation, there is no concept called long-term capital gain or short-term capital gain.
Okay.
It's a taxation on your income. Of course, there are some benefits you will get and there are some additions we will have when the money gets transferred to India. So total taxation, we believe, will be of the range of $30 million.
Okay.
But this is a ballpark number right now. The numbers are still being worked out, audited and worked out, and then we will share with you. But I thought I should give a ballpark number at least.
Okay, because we thought 40% tax rate looks quite high.
No, but 40% is what it is in U.S.
Okay. Okay.
That's what it is in U.S.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ma'am, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, no, thanks.
Thank you.
Very much.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Chetan Wadia from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir.
Yes.
Actually, my question is with respect to the school learning solution. How many total of private schools and government schools do you have in our portfolio?
We'll just give you the breakup.
Yeah, sure. And my second question is with respect to the skill building solution. Actually, the three parts of the question. The first one being, how much of the investment will be required from NIT in the next 10 years? What is the revenue model? And third being, from which quarter onwards we can expect some meaningful revenue from the same?
Okay. So, just to describe the joint venture from you, we don't expect more than over the 10-year period, right?
Yeah.
So we don't, over the first 5 years is when, first 4 years is when we see equity infusion in a matching manner, and the total equity capital of the company is expected to be about 100 crores.
Okay.
The internal accruals and this equity put together will be the margin against which NSDC is giving us a debt to fund the assets, which will be at the assets and working capital, which will be at 7% 7.5% 7.5% interest, which is payable only 4th year onwards.
Okay.
The third is, in addition to that, NSDC will also be working with us in market development, for which they will give us a market development assistance in terms of reimbursement of marketing expenses, special marketing expenses which we incur for the first 4 years. So this is the overall arrangement. And we therefore do not see our exposure to be, from cash point of view, to be anything more than the 90 crores that is envisaged. Over the business part two of your question, the business model at this time assumed is direct presence, which means 100% revenue and 100% expenses. We may subcontract a part of our facilities to business partners and yet keep full control, because this is going to be heavily technology-enabled business. See, otherwise the business model for this is not viable. The third question which you asked was what kind of a revenue can we look at from this business over the next few years, and I will share that with you. We expect just 1 moment. So, I'll just give you the revenue breakup. I had the number of centers. So, just to tell you that we are expecting about 375 centers in the first 3 years. And the balance will come up in the next few years. Now, the configuration of a center, typically the way we are looking at is, it is in a 1 lakh population city, and therefore these will be small centers, 2,500 to 3,000 square feet centers.
Okay. Okay. So about the revenue part, from which quarter onwards we are expecting some minimal dip?
Yeah, we would expect the revenue to, reasonable. We have already started reporting revenue. By the way, there is a small revenue even in this quarter.
Yes.
It's 1 million rupees, but it's a good beginning. You would start seeing the first few centers being operational from, I would say, January onwards. They would start functioning in November, December, but by the time things settle down and they can start clocking revenue, it will be January onwards.
Okay. Okay, sir. I take that. And, sir, but my earlier question of government and private schools, do you have that number?
Yeah. So, we in our portfolio, we have 12,860 government schools and 2,415 non-government schools.
2415. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I take that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vadia. The next question is from the line of Swati Nangalia from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi Vijay. I have a question on the Element K sale which we've done.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations on the deal.
Thank you.
You know, Vijay, as you mentioned that the financial impact of this deal would be neutral to marginally positive for us. Now, presuming the leverage was never a major concern for us and thereby no immediate need to draw down debt, do we have a broad sense of how soon could we create a similar opportunity in terms of business, which could yield an annual EBITDA of close to 45 to 50 crores?
Yeah. So the first thing which I want to say is that the you are absolutely right. There is no need to draw down all the debt, and we agree with you there. What is important is that I think there are first a few things. Normally you don't use this term, but I would say this divestment is PAT accretive other than the capital gains as well, first. Second, the size of the organization, which, because as you know, Element K contributed $86 million of revenue and at a comparative level, very low level of profit. But what, and therefore one important consideration would be what happens to the size. So the good news is that the size, the way the deal has worked out during this year, we will not have a diminution in size compared to last year. Of course, we would not get the benefit of all the growth that was to happen. But on top of that, the rest of the platforms of growth that we have identified will take over the growth from there. Now, given that they are operating, for example, take our individual learning business, which is north of 18%, they take our corporate learning solutions, which is 11 right now, and will continuously improve by a couple of 100-200 basis points over the next 6 quarters. And then if you look at schools, which again is at this point of 12, but will continue to improve, then overall the new revenue that you will add will be at a much higher margin than what you were earning otherwise. If I was to take the 40-50 crores and I was to apply a 10% margin, I mean 10% EBITDA as a working phenomenon, we are talking of a revenue of 400 crores, which will replace the Element K business and yet offer a larger margin. I tend to feel we will get that benefit in the next 15 months. I mean, between by end of next financial year, you would definitely have that included.
Okay. And my second question was relating to the NSBC JV. Now, the JV has a very strong potential of, you know, we've got the 7 million target to train. And given that training services being our forte, it looks like a rightful extension to our core business. But how the fact that the skill development is a fairly new vertical in the education space, and there is no other company, you know, which is still established in this, what are the execution challenges which one can actually see going forward in this?
Yeah. I would fully agree with what your statement is. So we must say that we have had done a bit of experimentation in the past, run a few pilots, and therefore have a small bit of experience, but you are very right that there is a large open space which we have to take advantage of. I think the first challenge, the single largest challenge, very surprisingly, will be the mobilization challenge. The mobilization challenge is a social problem. The social problem, especially in smaller towns, is that the social status of getting yourself skilled is not the same as the social status of getting yourself educated, in quotes. So we are working on the target population of, see, as you know, only 12% of our college-going age students go to college, 12.4%. That's our GER, gross enrollment ratio. We are targeting our products at the balanced 88%, those who do not go to college. And those who do not go to college are actually the ones which we want to work together in, first, skilling them, second, making sure that we contribute to their higher education if they have an interest in it, and therefore offer them a path. The second challenge which we will have will be affordability. The affordability typically in these cases will be much lower than the affordability which you have in the city. And we are going to use technology to handle the scale in a manner that we can create a low price point and therefore a low cost point. The third challenge which we will have will be finding them placement. Finding them placement is not as big a problem as finding them placement in their nearby locality. Because most of these people are, since their jobs only earn, you know, whatever, 5,000 to 10,000 rupees a month, they do not have the flexibility to leave their places and come and work elsewhere in another city unless it's a desperate thing. So our aim will be to find jobs in the neighboring localities. So, I mean, neighboring areas. And therefore, an important part of this is, which by the way is a forte of ours, is to build partnerships with local organizations and work backwards from their needs to create skills which they will require in that particular area. So we have identified 9 sectors, and therefore it will require us to be broad-based. You said our experience in skills is lower, but 2 skill areas we are already working in, which is IT and BFSI, Banking, Financial Services and Insurance, except that the person that we are looking at is 2 levels lower than the person that we train today. Okay. The third area, the fourth area, will be availability of faculty. Expert faculty required in the location. So if you are setting up a center in Saharanpur or Karnal or Palwal, then you need to be able to find that faculty at that location. That will be a challenge. Again, we are using technology as a solution for that. We have run some pilots. We have not run some pilots, but large, fairly large pilots to check the pedagogy, because that, if we can deliver the training, then creating value out of that training, frankly, is an easier problem to solve.
All right, that was really helpful, Vijay. Thanks for this, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. On account of time constraints, we will take one last question. This is from the line of Mr. Kaushik Poddar from KB Capitals. Please go ahead, sir.
See, on the skill development front, what is the capital commitment from NIT? And that figure I could not get.
I said that the total equity capital of this venture is 100 crores.
Okay.
Our maximum capital commitment is 90 crores.
That will be over how many years?
4 years.
4 years, okay. And when do you see the cash break even on this? How many years?
Cash break even will be in the third year.
Third year, okay. And this 90 crores will finally get deployed in the fourth year, you said?
Over 4 years.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. That was the last question. I would now like to hand over the conference back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, thank you once again for joining this call. I know it's busy time, and thank you for sparing the time for us and asking us all the questions which give us new insights. And if there are any more clarifications on anything that we have discussed, my colleague Kapil Saurabh, as well as Chetna, and all of us are available to you for further clarification. So wishing you all a very happy Diwali from all of us. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.